Have you been to Jesus, the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusted in His grace and hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you spotless? Are you white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily the saving sight? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, the robes are white, pure and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Will your souls be ready for the mansion bright? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless and white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Make it four. Lay aside our garments that are trained in sin. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain going in the cold and clean. Will you wash in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are the locks not as white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Okay, let's turn to page 251. There's power in the blood. There is power in the blood. Oh, yeah. Would you be free with your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you arrival and victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. There comes the cleansing the Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Number four, would you be service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily as precious sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power, the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day you have given us. Thank you for the blood you have shared
And we know that you're with us as we go into service, praising thy name. Lord, be with the members of our church who are coming and those who are here with us, sharing the service with us, to know that you're with us when we need you. Lord, be with us. Be with the pastor today as he preaches today. Be with us. Be with him as he preaches the word, and strengthen with all the power you have. And all these things we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen. You want one more? Okay. I would like to play seven. Seven. Number seven. How about that? Number seven. The shelter in the time of storm.
Lord, a rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of the storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. A shade of day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of the storm. No fears alarm, no fears of fright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus, rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Naked four. A rock divine, a refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
You want more there, brother? Oh, how about this? 196. 196.
196. No, not one. There's not a friend like a lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friends like him is a highly holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like a lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Number four. Did ever saint and a friend ever seek him? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner dying that he could not take him? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like a lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Number five. Was ever gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend that we know, only Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before we have our testimony time, I would like to remind you that this coming Sunday, the 30th, we're going to have a pretty busy day. One, after the morning service, we're going to have the church meeting, right? The church meeting, there's only one item that needs to be added to our articles, to our constitution and bylaws that we need to vote on to, for that to be added. Then after that, we'll probably have about an hour or two to eat lunch real quick. At 3 o'clock, we're going to be going over the neighborhood to invite people to come to church and invite kids to come to our VBS. So I'm suggesting that instead of going home that day, maybe we can buy pizza for everybody, for those that won't have time to, you know, go home, eat, or go somewhere and eat and come right back. I think it's good if we just all stay in here. Amen? Just an all-day fellowship. Nothing wrong with that, right? If you need to take a nap, that's what the pews are for. Okay? I bet you won't be going to sleep anyway, because everybody's going to be here. I guarantee you're going to be talking to everybody in the house of God. Amen. So what do you think about that? Yes? Okay. We were going to set up a different date for us to go inviting the neighborhood for the VBS, but I think most people are here on Sundays, and only on Sundays, and they want to participate in the activities of the church. But they can only be here on Sunday, so that's why I think it's might be a good idea for us to try that. Don't force yourself, though. If you're exhausted, obviously, if you're tired, then it's not mandatory. But if you would like to participate after the church meeting, we'll have lunch in the fellowship hall. If you need to take a nap, take a nap. And for those of us that have still enough energy by that time, after the pizza, after all the carbs, then we'll go out and just walk it off. Amen? We'll walk it off. And come right back, because we have a meeting again, Sister Fran and the trustees, at 4 o'clock. So it's going to be a long day, I admit. It's going to be a long day. But it's all for God's glory. Amen? It's all for God's glory. So, did I miss anything, Sister Faith? Cover everything? Yes? Okay, good, good. I got to check with my boss. I forget things, I tell you. I feel for you, Brother Gary, because I don't know how you do it without 3 weeks now or 2 weeks now without Sister Sandra. Four?
4 weeks.
Oh, boy. I'm surprised, sir, even in church, and you were able to wear a polo shirt. Amen. Testimony time. Any testimonies this evening before we go on with the service? Anybody has never given your salvation testimony? And you're willing to give it, obviously. Again, we don't force anybody. It's not like I want to put you in an arm lock. Okay, Brother Gary.
In 1971, I was living in Leesburg, Florida. Mm-hmm. So I asked her out on a date. She said, well, the only place we can go is to church. Mm. Well, I was raised a Catholic, so I've been in church all my life. It wasn't a big thing, but I've never been in a Baptist church. And I never heard about God like I heard about God that Sunday. Mm. We started dating. We went to the roller skating rink, and we went to church. In June of 1971, I accepted
Amen. Been serving in the VBS for 40 years. I'm only 38, so. Amen. Thank you for that testimony, Brother Gary. I'm listening to another song, and then if you have Ansel? It's on this history of Chula Vista Baptist Church. It says the church selected Laurel D. Woosley as their first missionary and pledged $10 a month of support for his work in the Philippines. So the very first missionary sent out from this church, Laurel Woosley became the founding pastor of where she's from in the Philippines. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's sing a song about 245. You do that one? 245. Let's just sing one verse and then we'll have an offering. Mm. 245. Can you do that one, Camille? Let's sing verse 1.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who cost his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Sing it. Amazing love, that thou, my God, shouldst die for me.
Ushers, please. Brother Jerry, can you pray for the offering, please? Amen, amen.
to sing an invitation song.
Girls, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Tonight we're going to be looking at gifts, looking at three verses, verses 4 through 7, more like four verses actually. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Father, I pray that you help us to learn about the things that you have entrusted us, the things that you've entrusted the church, and as individual Christians, help us to learn about the gifts that you have given us to profit from and to minister and to be able to edify one another. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What we're looking at this portion of the scripture are the spiritual gifts that's given to every believer and to every church. First, we've talked about the gifts that are given to the church. The gifts that are given to the church. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So when it comes to gifts, there are gifts that are given to the church, and then there are gifts that are given to each Christian individually. Ephesians chapter 4, Apostle Paul said, "For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one God," right? If you slide down to verse 11, and he says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So here then you see the gifts to the church when Jesus Christ ascended up on high and went back down into the lowest part of the earth to rescue the Old Testament saints. When he comes back up, before he goes up into the heaven, he left the church with gifts. And what are those gifts? The gifts to the church during that time were the prophets. We know that the last prophet was John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist was the last prophet. And what's the next one, according to that verse? Prophets, and then was evangelists. And then pastors and teachers. And you'll see why I put it in that order, as opposed to having teachers down here. Okay? Look at your text. The Bible says, and he gave some, actually, we skipped one, apostles. Right? There's no room. Apostles. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now, these two offices ceased to exist. The office of an apostle, what was the requirement for you to be an apostle? Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. You must be, in order for you to be an apostle, Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 21 and 22, the appointment of Joseph. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must be one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. They must be an eyewitness of the living and the resurrected Christ. Okay? A living and a resurrected Christ, and thus they must be ordained. Okay? So, the exemption there was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was not a witness of the living Christ, but he was a witness of the resurrected Christ in Acts chapter 7 and 8. When he visibly appears on the way to Damascus, but Paul had a special calling to be a special type of apostle. But today there are no more apostles. Okay? If you find your way to an apostolic church, and then the pastor claims that he is an apostle, and he claims that there are apostles living today, no, there are no more apostles today. Okay, how about prophets? John the Baptist was the last prophet. He was the end of the prophetical period. Okay, how about evangelists? Do we still have evangelists today? Absolutely, we have an evangelist, right? An evangelist is someone that encourages the church, gets people saved, and preaches the gospel of the church age, gets people saved, and that's what an evangelist is. An evangelist is just a preacher, but not every preacher is a pastor. Are you with me? Okay? Now look at your Bible. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Here's why I did not put down teachers down here as one of the gifts to the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 again. I want you to pay attention to the commas. Okay? The Bible says, and he gave some, comma, apostles, semicolon, and some prophets, semicolon, and some, comma, evangelists, semicolon, and some, what does that say? Pastors and teachers, as opposed to, and some pastors, semicolon, and some teachers. You understand the difference? The significance of that is this. A pastor must be a teacher of the Word of God. Okay? The calling to pastor a church is the calling to teach the church, as opposed to an evangelist. Okay? They're not different. They are both one and the same. If you find a pastor who does not teach the Word of God, there's something lacking there in the ministry. What you will have is an evangelist that is pastoring a church. See the difference? That kind of church, the kind of gospel, the kind of messages you will hear are salvation type of messages. Nothing wrong with that, right? Nothing wrong with it, because there are people in the church that are not saved. 40 years of preaching salvation, what do you think happens to a Christian? What happens? If you know nothing from the Word of God but the Romans road, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for there is none righteous, no, not one, but God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that is all you know in the 40 years of your Christian life, what kind of Christian do you think would you be? You would have a babe Christian, right? Why? Because that is not the entire counsel of God. As a matter of fact, that's not even one chapter of this blessed book. Do you agree? Amen. Henceforth, the calling of a pastor must be an equal calling to teach the Word of God. Are you with me? Okay? Now, to each Christian, however, there are also gifts. Go back to our text now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to slide down to verse 8 all the way to verse 10. There's a reason why I'm skipping verses 5, 6, and 7. Go to verse 8. The Bible says, for to one pertaining to the gifts, to the individual Christian, the Bible says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Here we go. To each individual Christian, some are given a gift of wisdom. Some are given the word of knowledge. Some Christians are given faith. Not saving faith, but the practice of faith. To another, the gifts of healing. To another, what does that say? Discernment or discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Okay, or languages. To another, the interpretation of tongues. What's next? But all these worketh that one in the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Go to Romans chapter 12 now, verses 3 to 8. Romans chapter 12. Now let's look at verse 4. The Bible says, For as we have many members in one body, and all members, what does that say? Have not the same office. Are you there? Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Okay. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then, what does that say in verse 6? gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Now, these gifts are given by grace. Okay? By grace. And if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in our text, they are, in verse 7, not only are they given by grace, these gifts are a manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation of the Spirit, capital S. Okay? In other words, these gifts show that you have the Holy Spirit of God. They manifest the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer. Okay? Two, profit withal, verse 7. It is for profit. Not profit as in financial profit, but profit as in for the Christian to be edified or benefit from. Okay? So that's the purpose of these gifts. Number one, they're given by grace. They are a manifestation of the Spirit, and their purpose is to profit the believer, to benefit the believer. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 22. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. First Corinthians 14, just move one chapter forward, verse 22. What does that say? Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. One of these gifts, okay, one of these gifts, or two of them, has a purpose of reaching those who do not believe. Okay? And they are these. Tongues. Healing. Okay? These are signs. Notice the Bible says that tongues are not for the believers. They are for those who do not believe. Are you following me on your text? I didn't make that up. I didn't write that to give the holiness movement a hard time. I didn't write that to give those that believe in speaking in tongues a hard time. The Holy Spirit of God wrote that in the Bible. And the Bible says that tongues and healing are for those who do not believe. Okay? You come to a church that has all of these laying on our hands on the forehead to try to heal the sick. They claim that they speak in tongues. You see the problem with that? Who's in the church? Believers or unbelievers? Believers, at least supposedly, right? The purpose of this tongues and healing in that early church is to minister to those, to the unbelievers. And yet, how many times will you find a minister that speaks in tongues preaching on the outside? You know when they speak in tongues? Or so-called speaking tongues, is in the church. And he's preaching, he's talking in front of believers. Error, right? Error. What is it? Which ones of these gifts belong to the believer? 1 Corinthians 13 again, 22, look at that. Prophesying. Okay? Prophesying. Preaching. Preaching is the one that belongs to the believer. A believer, someone who's already saved, has no business trying to speak in tongues, trying to get some kind of miraculous healing, those are not for us. 1 Corinthians 1:22. What does that say? 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks require or seek after wisdom. Right? There goes another issue. Are you a Jew or are you a Greek? Right? So, are you still with me when it comes to these tongues? So some Christians are given a gift of wisdom. Some Christians are given a gift of knowledge. Some Christians are given the gift of faith. You realize some people have more faith than others? Some people are able to decide on things without knowing the facts, based on faith. They just believe, right? Some people have this discernment, the ability to discern. You look at a person's eye, and I know when that person is struggling, even though they're smiling. Amen. Don't point fingers. Gift of discernment. Okay? You know Christians, the person right next to you. You know? And they'll elbow you and they'll say, hey, I don't know about this guy. I got a weird feeling about this guy. There's something, I don't know what it is. I just know that there's something wrong with that person. And time will tell. And lo and behold, that brother or sister is right about that person. Amen? They recognize way before time an individual before he begins to show his true colors. Amen? When it comes to the ministry, especially when placing people into the ministry, giving them an assignment or a responsibility or in the ministry, I have, as a pastor, I have to exercise major discernment to know who to put in each specific area of the ministry. Why? If I don't have the discernment, I will just say, oh, you want to serve in this area? Go ahead and serve in this area. I'm just glad that you're here. I'm just glad that I have you. You know what's going to happen? If that's the kind of attitude, you'll come and realize that brother that you just rushly plugged into that ministry has a history of violence, has a foul language, he's a child molester, a registered sex offender. You don't even know who you're dealing with, especially nowadays, right? But therefore, God has gifted the church, some members, with this gift of discernment. Okay? Sometimes you got to trust me on certain things that you don't know. If I call out something, it's not because I'm being, you know, I'm scared to make a decision. It's because I know something. I may know something that you don't know, right? And it goes both ways, right? That's why God has placed people with discernment, people that have interpretation, a gift of interpretation of tongues. That is right. Some people are just good at explaining things, right? Just making things easier to understand. Not everybody's like that. You understand in the church? Sometimes in the church, there's a church member, you always have to repeat over and over, over and over, over. what is it that we're doing, right? Well, it's not that they don't know. It's just that they're just their personality. But guess what? Every time there's a church member who does not fully understand, most of the time, almost always, there's always right next to that member a person who has a gift of interpretation. A person who's able to edify their brother or sister and say, here's what's going on. I like this church. I love this church. You know why? Because when an issue comes up, you come up to me and say, Pastor, I got to talk to you about this something. I like that. You know why? Because sometimes I don't understand things. I don't know everything. I like it and I appreciate it when you tell me right off the bat instead of hearing it from somebody else and saying, what? I didn't know that he felt like that. I didn't know that she felt like that. I didn't know that he or she was like that. How am I supposed to know? You come to me, then you interpret for me, if I may, right? You interpret for me. That's what that is. Now go back to your text now. Okay? Go back to your text now. The Bible says in verse 4 again, back up, now that you've seen the gifts to each, to the church, and the gifts to each Christian, and there's actually more than that. So let's back up to Romans chapter 12 first. I want to make sure I finish everything. All right, I skipped a couple more. Look at verse 6 now. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether... What's that one? Okay, I want to make another list here. Prophecy. What's next? Teaching. Right? What's that? What else is in there? Or ministry, right? Ministry. Well, you're probably wondering, well, Pastor, I thought you said a pastor is a teacher. No, these are gifts to the church. These are individual gifts. There are people that are just gifted teachers. You know that, right? They can simplify things that are complicated. No, every pastor must be a teacher, but not every teacher must be a pastor. See the difference? Okay? What else? Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Wait, the word wait there doesn't mean wait as in just hang in there, sit there and wait for people to come. No, wait, you know the word waiter comes from? Waiter, a servant? That's what ministry is. Ministry is serving, okay? Some people have just that servant's heart, and I appreciate our trustees and, you know, and Sister Fran, and just that heart. Even Brother Roger is always going around, and Sister Connie and Sister Jackie, and you know, there are men that you don't know that come here on weekdays to fix the church. You know that? I walk into that room and that room is painted. I didn't ask them to do that. By next Sunday, he said, by the time I walk into my office, that room's also going to be... I never asked him to do that. There are men that come in here, a couple that comes in here Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. They clean, they vacuum. Did you know that? There are men that come here on Thursday, on a Wednesday, on a Monday, without me having to ask them. You know what that is? That is a gift of ministry. Just wanting to serve, just wanting to be used by God. See, oftentimes people think that people's idea of a ministry is you have to be behind the pulpit, being seen by everybody, be the spotlight of the service. A true minister could care less if you're on the spotlight or not. Are you with me? A true minister, you don't see underneath a spotlight. The gift of ministry is that individual. I know you know who you are. That individual who never expects anything in return. Never expects recognition. Sometimes I have to be careful with naming people because, you know, if I miss one, there's a tendency of, oh, pastor mentioned him or her, and he never mentioned me. I got to be careful with that. But I want you to know, if that is your heart, that is a gift from God. Amen. Amen? Amen? That is a gift from God. Look at this one. Verse 8. Or he, this is a tough gift. Look at this one. You know one of the toughest gifts right here? Look at verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. And I've seen this. Exhortation. You know what that is? The gift of exhortation is being able to tell someone, hey, you shouldn't have done that. Not everyone can do that. And if there is one individual that has that gift, I tell you, that is the one person that is oftentimes misinterpreted and taken the wrong way. Are you with me? Some people have God has given to some people this gift of exhortation. And you ought to recognize that from a brother or a sister. Don't be offended by it. That's their gift. That's a tready water though, huh? Because where do you draw the line between exhortation to being critical, right? There are those that are just plain critical. They complain about everything. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what exhortation is. Proper exhortation is, hey, brother, I think there's a better way of doing it. I think you shouldn't have done that. Try this way instead. Isn't that a gift? Amen? He's still with you. What's next? He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. The gift of giving. You think that's a gift? To have a giving heart? Oh, absolutely. That is a gift. Because not everybody loves to give. I'm one of them. Amen? I think most people are like that. Are like me. We like to take. We don't like to give. Right? But some people, they would give. My wife's like that. She would give everything if she could. You know, and that's when I say, hang on, wait a minute. Let me draw that line back. I say, no, it's okay. Just give it. I say, no, gift of giving. Amen? Maybe that's God's gift for you. And you know, this is probably one of the best gifts. You know why? For everyone that giveth, receiveth. Are you with me? Right? That's why my wife is blessed. With the... Amen. He that ruleth. Rulership. Or leadership, right? Ruling. You think that's a gift? Some pastors are great speakers. Bad rulers. Do you agree? Some church leaders are amazing speakers, amazing expositors of the Word of God. You ask them to lead a church, though, in matters of all the other church matters. They're just not rulers. Are you with me? The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen? Some people, what does that say? Look at verse 8. Diligence. Diligence. Some people are diligent, are given that gift of diligence. You know how important that gift of diligence is? I know the girls are writing this down, so I'm going to write it down for you, okay? I'm going to keep on going. Diligence. What is diligence? There's a proverb that says, he that is diligent... I forgot what it says. Anyway, the gift of diligence, being able to do your work with all the attention and all your heart put into it, as opposed to a half-hearted service. You know the difference between a half-hearted servant versus a fully-hearted servant? A half-hearted servant will just do a little bit of the work, just to say that he's doing it, or just see she's doing it. A diligent servant will give it all out. That's a gift. Amen? He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. This is another good gift to have. Cheerfulness. How many would you agree? Don't raise your hand. That cheerfulness is a gift. Everybody's smiling all of a sudden. Amen? That's a gift to the church. Cheerful church members. Sister Reza, she's not here, so I can talk to her about this. See, she's not here, so I can mention her, right? Sister Reza is one of them. She walks in the room, and it's like a light bulb just went on in the entire room. And I have no idea why. I'm just happy to see her, right? You know what that is? That's a gift of cheerfulness. I mean, you could be going on bankrupt that day, right? Or get into a car accident, coming into church, coming from a car accident. She walks in, she gives you a hug, and you're happy all of a sudden. Amen? The gift of cheerfulness. Now, with all of these things, go back to our text. With all of these things, we said Now, these gifts are given by the grace of God. And if it's given by the grace of God, it is nothing for you and I to boast about. Okay? Number two, it is a manifestation of the Spirit. It shows that you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. But most importantly, it is to profit or to benefit the believers. Okay? Go back to our text. Verse 4, 5, 6, and 7 now. Look at verse 4, 5, and 6. Now he says in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts. Are there not? There's a lot of gifts. There are diversities of different gifts. But then he says, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit gave all of these variations of gifts. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 again, verse 4. That's why it says in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one Spirit. That same one Spirit, that Holy Spirit of God, has given all this multiplicity of different gifts to the believers. Verse 5, and there are diversities of administrations. Here's the thing. With these gifts, I said they are used to profit or benefit. These gifts are for the administration of the church. Are you following me? This is how you administrate the church. Each member of the body recognizing his gift and utilizing it to edify one another. That is how you administrate the church. Okay? How to destroy the church is this. The exact opposite of administrating the church. How to destroy the church is like this. If God has given you a gift of ministry, and you try to prophesy, you understand the problem? Or if God has given you a gift of exhortation, and you try to teach. Are you with me? Right? If God is giving you a gift of teaching and then you're trying to rule, you're trying to usurp another gift that's not given to you, is what I'm saying. That's how you fail to administrate the church. When one member of the church steps on and usurps another gift that does not belong to them. Are you following me? That's why the Bible says there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, not every church has all of these. Right? Would you agree? So in some churches, you'll find only a handful of these. The most blessed church would have all of these things. I think we have all of them. In this room, even in this room, not even in the morning congregation when everyone's here. Just looking at this room in general, I think we all have all of these in here. Just looking at the room. I'm not going to tell you which one you are. Yeah, that's up to you. That's between you and God, amen? I'm not going to call you out on it. I'm just saying, this is a blessed church. Amen. This is a blessed church. Because I'm looking at the list of these gifts. It's found in this room. Are you with me? Amen? Now the Bible says there are differences of gifts or diversities of gifts, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. The same God. So in some churches, God would only give members that have wisdom and knowledge and ministry. In some churches, God would only give exhortation, ruling, and cheerfulness. Okay? Differences of administration. Okay? Is one church better than the other? Not necessarily. I'm just saying there are different ways that God operates in each church. How many of you have been to a church and this church works and the chemistry of the church is exactly just like another church? Can you name another church that has the same chemistry, the same operations, the same personalities as Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church? You will not find one. You won't find one. Why? The Bible deals with each church individually as he sees fit. Are you with me? Diversities of administrations, but it's the same God. They worship the same God that we do. Amen? Look at verse 6. And there are diversities of operations. The way one church operates does not have to operate the same way that another church operates. Are you with me? You know, the fault, the error in a lot of Christianity today is when one church emulates another church and tries to copy everything that other church does. I want this to happen to my church. Why? Well, because this and that church is doing it that way. I want to run our church the same way that church runs their church. Oh, hang on. You know what? You're going to come into all kinds of problems when you do that. Because God's operations and administrations and gifts are different for every church. How many churches do you know? You walk into their building and it looks exactly, or it's trying to look exactly just like another mega church. And you say, wait, I saw that sign. Are we trying to be like them? Are you with me? That's because the leadership fails to recognize that the way God's deals with every Christian, the way God deals with every church is different for everybody. How many of you have been to at least two churches in your entire life? The younger ones raise their hand. How about five churches in your entire life? How about 10? Anybody? 10? Whoa, 10. Whoa, not me, right? See, you've only been to three. 50 different churches. I guarantee you, Brother Gary, not a single two of those 50 churches you've been in are alike. They're all different. And the problem is, like I said, when one church tries to be like the other church, that's not how God works. And they're not all good either. But in the end, I want you to look at your Bible. In the end, look at verse 6. There are diversities of operations, but in the end, what does the Bible say? It is the same God which worketh all in all. The same God which worketh all in all. Slide down to verse 11. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Who wills? The Spirit of God wills. Amen? The church and the composition of the church, the operations of the church, the administrations of the church is not dictated by the pastor. Amen? It's dictated by the Holy Spirit of God as he sees fit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. That's our lesson for tonight. The gifts. If you'd stand to your feet as we come to close, let me ask maybe three or four men to just lift up your voice and pray for our church. As we continue in this service, thank God for our church, and you know, just speak to God tonight as we close. Then we'll have a piano place.